Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Final hour of Grant and Danny on this DC Sports jam-packed Tuesday. 49ers looked great last night. Kyle Shanahan has them undefeated quarter way through their season. Nick Bosa had a field day getting even with Baker Mayfield a couple years later last night.
So he did a fake flag plant, and if you know, you know what that was about, what it was regarding. He went to Ohio State, and of course, Baker Mayfield went to Oklahoma. There was a flag planting incident at Ohio State. So Nick Bosa does a fake flag plant celebration during the game, and then post-game, video right here, GP.
Let's see it.
Of taking a giant flag that says 49ers and planting it into the in the end zone of the Cleveland Browns.
And so he's got the San Francisco 49ers flag, and they're, oh, he's so mad.
He's waving it around, the same thing Baker Mayfield did, surrounded by teammates in college. He's been sitting on that for 2 years, has been waiting to do that to Baker Mayfield for a couple seasons.
Really mad at Baker Mayfield. The Browns stunk last night. I'm glad I didn't watch that game, by the way.
You would have been devastated.
Glad I was busy watching Ryan Zimmerman hit a bomb and Max Scherzer dominate. We'll get back into the Nats. Let's go Nats heavy here in just a bit. I want to, Danny, get to the topic you and I liked on how are people going to feel about this series if they lose a fifth division series in a fourth game five? Is it just get lumped in with the rest, or is it viewed differently? So we'll do that in a minute, but we've been talking Redskins, so let's wrap up the calls right now on Dwayne Haskins for the people who have been waiting. Yeah. Thomas is in Laurel. What's up?
Hey, how y'all doing, man? Grant, Danny, first off, I want to say y'all are hysterical.
You're very kind, sir. Thank you.
You keep me rolling when I leave from school.
We like you.
From work. Yeah, man. Redskins, whoa. Haskins, I think they're setting the man up for failure. I'm sorry. And then now getting Callahan to coach the team, I'm figuring that Bruce, anybody that he's going to promote or hire, he's going to have a talk to them about having to at least give him a proper shot, a proper starting with the offense for a couple weeks and starting a couple games.
Yeah, give him a shake and give him an opportunity to play. Let me ask you this real quick, though, Thomas. When you say they're setting him up for failure, you don't mean that they are behind the scenes like plotting nefariously. You just mean they're not giving him a fair crack because they're botching this.
I'm not a football mind like the coaches are. They may see something, like you said, they may see something that the rest of us don't see and don't know, that either he just can't protect himself, he don't know the calls, he won't get the calls, he don't get them. But we have to find out what we have before we get to the next draft.
Yeah, I don't think that's a crazy declaration, by the way, which is a delicious little bar right over by Nats Park that
good
I
spot.
Ate at a couple days ago.
Good burger yesterday by me.
I've gone twice. I took my pals yesterday.
That's a good place, man.
What do you think?
I really liked it.
Yeah?
Good ambiance, nice little decor.
Very cool place.
Yeah.
Check it out if you're going to the ballpark, hopefully for an NLCS game. But to say that let's find out what we have in Dwayne Haskins before we move on from him shouldn't need to be said.
That's very reasonable, right?
You drafted him at 15. This isn't a sixth-round flyer. Mike in Falls Church, how's it going?
Good. Thank you for having me on. Here's my take on first. Snyder, I think, has direct access to Haskins. And I mean, if you look up in his box, he always has one of the star players up there when they're hurt or whatever. So no one can tell me he doesn't have direct access. He's probably already told them, we're going to make a move here. He's not going to get anybody until he gets rid of Allen, okay? I'm a businessman. I own my own business. that was a disaster for Snyder on Sunday. He will not feel the repercussions for that for a while, but he will eventually. Allen's out of here. He will never attract anybody, and Snyder's just going to keep Haskins at bay. He might get a little bit of play this year. And then all the coaching staff, except for the young stud that is calling plays,
O'Connell,
will be on the trash heap.
Well, here's the problem with that, too. And you got to keep good coaches in your building. There's no denying that. But they also can't hire a head coach and say, you've got to keep Kevin O'Connell.
You got to dictate.
That's up to the head coach. They did this act, this routine, this silly stuff before.
The Zorn debacle.
Yeah, they were like, we really like this Jim Zorn guy who's going to be a really good play caller. He, at the time, was, quote, a young up-and-comer, right? So he's our OC. Now let's go get our defensive-minded coach. Except that they all turned you down. Jim Fossil said, no thanks. And everyone else that they interviewed, Greg Williams, for whatever reason, didn't get it. And they go, okay, we're going in a different direction, and now you got to promote Jim Zorn. No one wanted to come and inherit an offensive coordinator. People want to hire their own people. Now, do I want Kevin O'Connell in the building? Yes. But that's got to be up to the next head coach. You know, it did work with Sean McVay. They kept him, and they went and hired Jay Gruden.
You get a guy that goes, I recognize the genius in that guy. Let's keep him around.
But here's how that worked and why that worked. I still swear by this. They knew before that search started it was ending with Jay Gruden. He would be their head coach. Mm. Jay Gruden had worked with McVay. They're very good buddies. That's part of it. Jay Gruden had worked with Raheem Morris. He was retained as well. Jay Gruden had worked with Jim Haslett. He was retained as well. So if you go back and listen at that time, I was screaming from the mountaintop they were going to hire Jay Gruden. Everyone's like, wow, man, you hit it on the head. I thought it was the easiest prediction ever.
Yeah, the signs were pretty available.
They literally kept everyone in the building who had ties to Gruden and Bruce Allen. Everybody. Everyone else, gone. If you're with Bruce Allen and you're with the Grudens, you're here. I wonder who they're going to hire. Probably Jay Gruden, the offensive coordinator from the Bengals. Let's go to Steve in Gainesville on G&D. Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys. Bear with me. I got a few points here. let's give the kid a break. It's clear to me Gruden wasn't preparing him to start because his job was on the line, and he knew that he wasn't a day one starter. Once we commit to preparing him to start, he's not going to look great, but he won't look terrible. He does need some time to develop. Keep in mind, he was thrust into the Giants game, and he really hasn't had a full week to game plan for a matchup. So, you know, if he plays at some point this year, you'll have some tape to show a young coach like Bieniemy or somebody who can come in and grow with him. If he doesn't play this year, it's a waste of time. It's a waste of the 15th pick. All bets are off, and it's all going to hell.
Oh, that was it. I thought you had more points. That was good points. No, I like all those.
I thought he was succinct and yet powerful.
He got all the things
which
in.
Which is really what we're looking for.
And so he hasn't looked good, and I understand that. And he also we may learn over the years that he's a terrible practice player. I mean, the data set is so small on Haskins. I'm not willing to write him off as not a worthwhile project yet. I think the point that you've made, though, Grant, very astutely, is if we're a month from right now where the focus clearly has shifted, I argued it should have shifted earlier, but here we are. We've shifted to developing Dwayne Haskins. If he's still not ready to protect himself on a football field as the quarterback, different conversations need to be had. Mea culpas from people like me need to be had, right? Where I need to say, you know what? Not only was I off about my evaluation, but they need to go a completely different direction. We can have those conversations in a month. Not yet. Not yet. Not with no weapons, not with a bad offensive line, not with a coach in flux, not with completely different motives and motivations in order to try to squeeze out a win through the first 5 weeks versus an offense that can't move versus an owner that's putting pressure and you know via Bruce Allen on the coach, et cetera. Once we now have shifted to we are building for the future, if this guy can't get on the field in those times because he can't protect himself, a completely different conversation is absolutely needed. I'm not ready to have it yet. Because the story isn't written. We need to be more patient with a guy that's got so little experience than we would with other rookie quarterbacks going to better situations. This is the worst of all the worlds. A guy with no experience playing at a high level in college, or very little experience playing beyond high school. The worst situation maybe the NFL right now in terms of roster, talent, front office meddling, and beyond. So other situations where you go, well, Mitch Trubisky, you give me that situation in Chicago for Dwayne Haskins, we could have a different conversation. Well, Pat Mahomes, you give me Kansas City, we could have a different conversation. This is here, a toxic waste dump. It's very little room for success, so I have no problem protecting him from some of that mess.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. Next, Nats center stage again. Game 5 division series tomorrow in L.A. If they win and they're on to the NLCS, it's going to feel like this ball's rolling downhill with some momentum. If they lose, are you going to link this to all the other division series setbacks that were viewed as failures, or will this one be viewed differently? We're G&D on the Fan.
No offseason. Not at the St. James, anyway. DMV's hottest destination for sports, wellness, and active entertainment. The St. James is a sports utopia. There's something for everybody there. Premium Health Club, okay? If you're like me, you had 7 cookies this morning that Brendan's lovely wife made. You're a great big fat zilch, and you got to work on your body. You got to fix it. But the Premium Health Club, top-of-the-line equipment and weights, dedicated personal trainers to help you achieve your body goals. In fact, every new member gets 2 complimentary health assessments with a personal trainer, right? But if you're also like me, you got kids. When do you have time? When are you going to drop your kids off somewhere and work out? When can you squeeze it in? Aha, there are things for your kids to do. In addition to competitive leagues and training in more than 20 sports, you get an active entertainment center, climbing, bouldering walls, trampolines, VR games, a ropes course, and a massive water park. It's the perfect place to host a birthday party, right? You can do whatever you want there at the St. James. The world is your oyster. You got to go see them and check it out. I'm telling you, with so much under one roof, you got to see it to believe it. Visit thestjames.com to learn more and schedule the tour. That's thestjames.com. St. James, welcome to your best.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Nats Dodgers, one of 2 Game 5s tomorrow night in National League Division Series play, because the St. Louis Cardinals came back to beat the Atlanta Braves and walk them off in extra innings last night.
What a series that is, by the way.
It's been great. They're saying the same thing about Nats Dodgers, but that one's been really fun.
I think there are 2 teams. I think both teams have had a lead in each game. I don't know if that's exactly right, but that's how it feels. They've been going back and forth.
All the teams have had
that? All of the teams involved. I'm an idiot. At least I speak for a job. But the St. Louis Cardinals and the Atlanta Braves, it feels like each team has traded leads within each game.
Here's what we won't do today.
What's that?
We won't do the who would you rather play, the Cardinals or the Braves thing.
I think we have a show moratorium on that forever.
Never again, right? I mean, A, we're always wrong. Whoever we say you'd rather play, we're wrong about. But B, every minute we spend on the Nats needs to be invested in Nats Dodgers.
Agreed.
Because you're fighting, you're pushing a boulder up a hill.
I beg for the Giants. I beg for the Capitals to play Tampa Bay. Never again. Never again will I do that.
The Cardinals and the Braves, Game 5, will be played at 5:02 East Time, first pitch in Atlanta. The Nats and the Dodgers tomorrow at 8:37. Today, by the way, there is 1 game at 7:07 Eastern tonight. The Rays at home at the Trop are trying to push the Astros to a 5th game. Good luck. You got to deal with Justin Verlander.
How do you beat the Astros, man?
I feel great saying this. I've lost a lot of money with sports betting saying this, but I'm 100% sure. I'm 100% sure that the Astros win this game and advance today.
2 things. You got to start
100% sure.
You got to start getting your picks from Dukes. The second thing I'm going to tell you is
he's got a ridiculous track record.
That's
apparently
what I'm hearing. What would you rather do? And you have to pick one. Pick the next round opponent, like do the who would you rather play bit and sincerely do it again, or pick the record of the NFL football team as soon as the schedule comes out. Like, go through each game and decide win or loss.
I would do who would you rather play thing 100 times. I could be in radio, if I'm lucky, for another 50 years.
All right.
First of all, I'll live for like 17 more. I'm eating poorly in the last week or two. I need to quell that immediately, this playoff series.
Can we have some more cookies, by the way?
Stress and anxiety is getting to me. Second, as you know, I've mentioned this a few times, it's something that's constantly on my mind and a constant source of stress. I have 1 kidney, okay? So those 2 things mean I'm not going to live that long. But let's just say that I lived for 50 more years. I would never do the wins or losses thing.
What if you're on your 81 and you're still doing middays with your pal, Randy Duhigg?
Well, that would be hilarious.
You're 81 and the schedule comes out, whatever it is, in March or April, and you're like, I see a win in game 3.
The Redskins play the Bills.
What? They're the Bills? Who? No, yeah, I paid the bill last night. What?
Tom, play the button. It's ready for winning off the field time.
I want the sound machine. Turn it very loudly.
Yeah. Crank the sound
machine.
What'd
you say?
About 72 years ago, Tom Allen, the general manager of the Redskins, Uncle Bruce.
Bruce Marjorie's son?
Bruce was George's son. You remember George.
Peter, the man with the face.
Bruce said this.
It We're idiots.
In 2019.
I derailed this. I'm sorry.
All right. I had
Focus up. Lock it up.
Here's the question.
Lock it up.
If the Nats lose to the Dodgers, two items here. A, I cannot believe they got to game five in a season where they were 19-31, where they had to win a wild card play-in game at home, where they won an elimination game at home. They pushed this thing to the brink. They had to deal with Walker Buehler and Clayton Kershaw on a 1-6 win team. I love these Nats. It's a shame it's over. I have nothing negative to say. That's one. Or the other option, which is another NLDS loss, another game five choke job, 0-5 in the division series, 0-4 in game fives. Which of those two parties that people get invited to have more attendees? You have to choose one of the two.
You know who's going to have more attendees.
I don't.
I think it's going to be another divisional loss without
actually.
Nuance. You don't think so?
No, I think it's probably close to 50-50, to be completely frank. But I would bet you more Nats fans will be, I won't say happy, but they'll feel like that was a house money loss and it was a job well done this year because of where they came from. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm crazy.
You and I can have a reasonable conversation. Where we go, the Dodgers are just have more. They've got they're a better lineup, better pitching staff, better bullpen, better resources. Their guys will be rested. They'll be fine. They have whatever resource they want. The Nationals have three guys that can possibly get outs, and maybe Patrick Corbin again. But we already know, we saw what happened last time they came out to do outs. You would pick the Dodgers every time if you're reasonable, right? Now, the Nationals have a puncher's chance. They've got Steven Strasburg, who shoved in game number two. He's got to be great. If Walker Buehler's not great, no fear. Clayton Kershaw's here to quell the damage. If Scherzer's not great, Strasburg's not great, there's no backup plan. There is no backup plan. There's no dumb romantic comedy. The context has to matter. The nuance, to me, has to matter. In other words, yes, you acknowledge that this other team is better than you. You're the underdog this time, and maybe we'll try it that way. So this one isn't equal to just not hitting at all against the Giants when you had 15 more regular season wins than they did. That's not the same. It's not the same as having a 6-run lead against the Cardinals and blowing it, the largest lead ever blown in a playoff series ever, right? It's not the same as being down to your last strike a million times and Drew Storen not being able to close the deal, pitching for the third straight day for some reason. It's not the same as having the craziest inning in the history of the postseason when Max Scherzer came in and got the first two outs quickly against the Cubs. It's not the same. But it's going to feel like if they'd lost in it last night, for example, you'd go, damn, they were outmanned. But you're in a game five, and it's going to depend on how the game plays out, I think, ultimately. You know, for me, where the context is going to be, damn, they could have done it.
Yeah.
Right? If they find a way
gonna
to lose.
It's going to sting if they don't
win. Obviously, it's going to hurt.
But you know how I feel. This is not a game you should win.
Right.
It's really not.
It's not. Honestly, it's not.
Let's see what happens. Let's ride. You shouldn't have won enough games to make the playoffs. You shouldn't have come back and beaten the Brewers with Hader on the hill. You probably shouldn't be even through four games based on the pitching matchups to this point. Roll the balls out and let's see. 800-636-1067. How will you view tomorrow night if it does not go the Nats' way? And if it does, what are you going to be thinking going into the NLCS?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And
sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
The Redskins have the fifth hardest remaining schedule in the NFL. Bears, Falcons, Broncos, Cardinals, Redskins. Five teams that are in trouble, by the way. Chicago, at least of those five, is good and competitive. Those are the hardest remaining schedules in the league. Team to look out for, the Bills, have the softest remaining schedule, and they're 4-1. And the Cleveland Browns, who played last night, I keep saying that they just have to kind of tread water, but they have the second easiest remaining schedule in the NFL. The Pittsburgh Steelers would be third.
So, next couple games of the Browns are tough ones, right? It's Seattle, yes, and somebody else that's good.
Those are the last two games in what is their murderer's row first half.
If you get one of those somehow, then you can harvest your nuts in the back nine. I think that they're, even if they lose a couple of these games, they'll be written off, and I think that's wrong.
The Bills might have a chance to make the playoffs.
Dude, you put enough wins together. Listen, they beat a few bad teams to start the year. You don't complain about that. You win your games.
But then how about the Skins? One of the five hardest schedules remaining at 0-5.
Good.
Just fired their coach.
Good.
Not going to Dwayne Haskins.
Well, we're looking for Miami. We're going to try to beat Miami. That's what we're focused on.
It's about the Dolphins today.
Big picture.
800-636-1067. You want to hop in on the Nats. Game five is tomorrow night. If they lose game five, I think that most people will correctly feel as though this was an amazing run, and the fact that they pushed the Dodgers as far as they did was impressive. The Dodgers are better, and everyone thinks they're coming out of the NL to represent this league in the World Series. But is there a chance that we could hear, same old Nats, choked in game five again? Let's go to Bill in North Carolina. What's up, Bill?
Hey, guys, real quick compliment, if you don't mind. Before you guys came to town, talk show radio in this sports radio in this town was beyond awful. I think you've made it a joy to drive around and listen to you guys. It's been a real pleasure. So, anyway, as far as the Nats go, I'm happy either way. Not happy if they lose, obviously, but going up against Walker Buehler, it's an awful tough scenario. But I think the teams in the past have always been flawed, especially lineup-wise, in those four series. If you got past Zim, it was down to the Danny Espinosas of the world. There were a lot of holes in those swings, and they were always flawed pitching-wise. But this is a long lineup. Obviously, they have the bullpen troubles, but it's really been a fun, not a dynamic team, but a really interesting team to watch. I think it's been a load of fun, and that's the point. I think they've kept us interested after going 19-31. You can't ask for more. I think it's. I look at the first scenario. I'll be really happy with this team. It's been a real treasure. Now next year, if Strauss and Rendon walk, then we could get problematic. So I say
you're right about that.
To everybody, just enjoy the moment and have fun with it. But this team's been a blast.
Thanks for the kind words. Yeah, great phone call in that. I think he has the right perspective, too, in the sense that every time they play one of these elimination games, I do, before the game, acknowledge and think in my own mind, this could be it for Rendon. This could be it for Strasburg.
This is the window.
And remember, Rendon's a free agent, so he's going to hit the market. They're going to try to win a bidding war, but they've missed the boat, missed their chance on getting a deal done with him ahead of that. And then in the case of Strasburg, he can opt out, and he is the same agent. Guess who? Scott Boras.
Old Scotty.
And he'll be in his ear, you have to imagine, telling him 4 years, $100 million is what's left on your deal. You're worth a lot more than that.
I think how it happens, again, we're just talking about a losing scenario, but how it happens matters. If Strasburg goes out there and gets hit around a little bit and gives up some runs, what are you going to do? You just go, oh, well, that's our best bullet. He's been nails throughout. He was excellent against Milwaukee.
Didn't have it tonight.
Games number two. Doesn't have it. And they have no alternative. If it's one of those games where they have a million chances to score and don't, leave the bases loaded, or you know, don't come up with that big hit a bunch of times, clinging to a lead and the bullpen blows it, that's going to hurt, I think, infinitely. And that'll be, well, we actually have something systemic here. This is what they've done in each one of these games. So I think context is going to matter tonight a little bit too, James.
I'm sure of it, yeah. I think that's the case. But I do think you're just coming from one general paradigm or the other. Like, there's going to be elements, I'm sure. If they don't hit, they score one run on four hits again, then they're going to have shriveled up in a big moment. Yep. You can be mad about that. But you're still either going to feel like it was awesome that they got there, or they started the year as the favorites to win the East, and yet again they didn't get to the NLCS. Dan in Fairfax.
Danny, you are one of my favorite comedians. You always make me laugh, so I appreciate you,
Thank
buddy.
You, brother.
And Grant, you were awesome on the Caps postgame show this past weekend.
I appreciate you, buddy.
In my opinion, even if we lose to the Dodgers, we've overcome a lot of obstacles. The fact that we started 19-31 and people were saying we should fire Martinez, I think this is the best Nationals team ever. The starting pitchers are great. The lineup is stacked. If I was a coach, I'd be worried about facing Trey Turner, Adam Eaton, Juan Soto, MVP Anthony Rendon, Robles, Matt Adams. I mean, the list goes on and on. Let's go, Nats. We're going to win.
Thank you, Dan. Much appreciated. Let's go to Abraham in Chantilly. Game 5 tomorrow night, yep. Abraham.
Love you guys. First off, I just want to reiterate the last guy. We're not losing. This team just feels different than others in the past. Just like the Caps 2 years ago, I feel like the Nats are going on their revenge tour, their little mini revenge tour. First up is the Dodgers. Next is the Cardinals, or even the Braves for knocking us out of the playoffs. But it just feels different because, like, bounces are going our way. Like, last night with the bases loaded, that Peterson foul ball, 6 inches foul. That game could have been totally different if that lands fair.
Oh, definitely. All of a sudden, it's a clencher and a nail-biter. Not to mention, we had a caller mention this earlier today saying that the baseball gods are on the Nats' side, and we discussed that. But there were two balls that were killed late by Bellinger and Muncy that both stayed in the yard that – in the first or second or third inning before the rain.
Our home runs.
And in every other game played in the wild card or division series to this point, in either ballpark, our home runs. Greg Huntington, you're on Grant and Danny.
Hey, guys. So I just wanted to reiterate what everyone is saying, that this is probably the best team the Nats have faced in their short tenure in the playoffs, and this is the best team they've had. I think anyone expecting to win this game probably is letting their fandom get in the way of reality, and they need to appreciate what they're seeing. They were down so far in the regular season, and they made that comeback. They got lucky with Yelich getting hurt and Soto coming up with his heroics in the wild card. And then to push a team like the Dodgers to 5 games, I think they need to take a step back, appreciate what they're seeing, obviously hope for the best, but prepare for the worst, and understand that you can only go so far without a best-in-the-league player like Bellinger or Kershaw.
Yeah, it's so well said. What is the weakness and the flaw of the Dodgers? Bellinger may win the MVP. They've got 3 different guys who could win the Cy Young Award. They've got a superior bullpen to you, and it's not close.
Their perceived weakness is Kenley Jansen, who I would kill for.
Well, Kenley Jansen had a quote-unquote bad year, who's still one of the 7 or 8 best closers in baseball, even in his bad year this year. Where's their flaw? It's a great kind of rhetorical question. I had a buddy text me a minute ago who was reading a story today. I think it was from The Athletic on the Scherzer quote that his arm was hanging off last night, basically. He said, are we overusing Max and Stras? Yes.
Yeah.
It's that or get eliminated.
Yeah, and?
I mean, it's October, and either you overpitch those guys and you run them into the ground for as long as they can get you by, or you get knocked out of the playoffs. Now, are you going to be able to win a World Series this way? No, probably not. Can you ride Max and Stras like you have all the way through October? No, I guess the hope would be you get through this game and maybe you break out offensively and average 7 runs or something in the NLCS and you have a little cushion in some of those games to use the part of your bullpen you don't trust. But this is not May or June anymore. It's either Scherzer and Strasburg's arms almost fall off, or you get eliminated. That's the way this team is built, and you're doing what has to be done to win right now. Grant and Danny, with you on the Fan, how will you feel tomorrow based on the result about this 2019 club? I'll tell you, man, I just want another week of baseball. I say this all the time. I love this group so much. They have given me hours and hours of joy, and I want one more game to watch these guys. I want those dances in the dugout. I want those smiles. I love this group of Nats, and I don't want it to end. D&D on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So Brendan brought in a huge bag of chocolate chip cookies today. A Ziploc bag that is full of chocolate chip cookies to the brim. Well, I should say in past tense, it was full of chocolate chip cookies. You could barely zip it. Here's my question, actually, Dar, if you don't mind. I want to know how many cookies were made. Have you ever seen a bag that big of cookies?
It's a big bag. That's multiple sheets of cookies. Right. I would guess a 3 or 4 sheet.
Like, who bakes that many cookies and for what reason?
She was just doing something nice, I guess.
No, it was exceptionally nice. But I'm saying, if Leanne's baking cookies for us or something, like, I would say, 12, 24 cookies. Like, that's a good number. There were, like, 48 cookies in that bag.
I would say there was at least 50.
Yeah.
Based on
a lot of cookies.
How many cookies I think have been eaten between Danny, you, me, Pete, CK, basically everybody.
So here's kind of what I wanted to bring up. The show is over in about 10 minutes, maybe a little less. Danny has eaten, since our pre-show meeting, not one,
mm-mm,
not two,
mm-mm,
not three.
No.
Not four. LeBron style. Not five. No, not five cookies. So,
oh, we can guess, yeah.
So he ate six cookies, you say. Not six.
Well, that is true. I did have six. But I also had others.
Oh, he must have. Others, plural.
How many more others?
It's a Mitch Hedberg. I used to do drugs. I still do, but I used to also.
Not seven cookies. That's not the number.
That was the total at one point.
So then you ate eight cookies.
Uh-huh. And then?
You ate a ninth.
Uh-huh.
So when he got to nine cookies, I said, Danny, listen, dude. You'd think this is where his buddy steps in and helps him. But instead I said, bro, if you're going to eat nine, that's boring. For me to go home and tell my wife that you ate nine cookies isn't that interesting. Let's round this up to 10. And then Danny said, well, no, that's not what he said. What he said was, well, if I'm going to eat a 10th cookie, why wouldn't I just eat 12? Which was weird to me. I didn't really understand that logic.
It's a dozen. I mean,
I said, well, if you're going to eat nine, you might as well round it up. That makes a lot of sense. Nine is an odd random number. 10 is everything happens kind of in tens. It's easily quantifiable. But then you jump to a very random 12.
Well, there's nothing random about it. It's how desserts are served. You know, like when you go get your crazy cupcakes cousin, you don't get 6, no 10, no 12. Baker's dozen. That's what you do. You get your 12. 12 donuts, 12 cookies, 12 desserts.
I thought a baker's dozen is a 13.
It is, but I don't know if I can do 13. Actually, I probably could.
Yeah, can you bring in one more cookie?
You probably should.
Let's finish it on the air for a baker's dozen. 13th cookie. Now you all of a sudden get a little anxious?
That's a little.
Now, is your stomach hurting at all?
No, I feel great.
Because I told you not to do the last
couple. So you want me to get my 13th is what you're telling me to do.
I think you should.
Here we go. I'm reaching in, and this is number 13. I can't eat it while I'm on the air. That
sure
would be ridiculous, Eric Pickle.
Pull a pickle.
All right, here we go. So this is cookie number
13.
11. This is 11. I ate one on the way in. So this is 11, this is 12, and then this is 13.
I didn't know you still had three over there.
No. So now I just got a third.
Okay.
So you actually like me to eat on air?
Yeah, go for it.
I was one of the first things I was told is to never do that.
No, we're past it now.
And here we go.
You know how, like, if you're a columnist, all the rules that you're taught you shouldn't do, you, like, read a Kornheiser or Wilbon column who are
like
the best
columnists.
Like
about grammar and, like, semicolons?
Yeah, they break all the rules because they're, like, have their own style. This is your own style now.
Mm-hmm.
So this is number 10?
11.
11. And so by the end of the show, you'll be at 13 for the day. Chocolate chip cookies made by Leanne. And by the way, Leanne, Brendan, congratulations. It's a big night for them.
Yay.
Tonight, they go to the hospital. Yeah, it's same song as Danny's 13th cookie. for the birth of their child. The baby comes this evening or in the morning? How's this going
to
work?
I honestly have no idea how it's going to work. We're going tonight, trying to stay calm, and hopefully it's, I don't know, maybe I'll eat a dozen cookies tonight in solidarity with Danny.
We're celebrating the newsroom at the same time, by the way. Yeah.
You have no idea what's going to hit you in like 7 hours, do you?
I have no idea.
I mean, Dar, there's no preparation for that moment.
The part you're not ready for is how much work you're going to be doing in there. You're put to work. I didn't sign up for that.
He was like, oh, I'm not going to do anything.
I want to be in the waiting room.
I basically caught the baby. I'm telling you.
Yeah. I'm not doing that. A medical professional can do that.
You're
going
to have to hold
thing.
The leg, brother.
In a movie, there's like six people all just doing a bunch of stuff, wearing like full outfits with masks and things. For me, there was one lady next to my wife going, breathe. And then she's like, please come here, sir. And then I'm like basically doing the procedure.
If it to do was Mike.
Just get ready for
taking
it.
Taking the snap out of the pistol. This is number 12 going down now.
All right, number 12. We're going to be good to go. Let's go to Adam in Sterling. How are you?
Hey, guys. What's up?
Chilling.
I agree with a lot of folks that have called in. I think I'll have good taste in my mouth if the season ends tomorrow. What I'm worried about, and I think people are overlooking, is, you know, this team in a year and a half, we could be looking at a team with no Strasburg, with no Rendon, with no Adam Eaton, with an aging Max Scherzer. Basically what I'm saying is I think their window could be closing faster than people think as a championship series level team. And so I'd be worried about that with a loss tomorrow.
So I think that's a fair concern, and I have it myself. When I do a little deeper dive, though, they're going to hopefully lock up Trey Turner, who's not represented by Scott Boras, which makes it a lot easier. And Juan Soto and Victor Robles give you a core that matters a whole lot. And as long as you have Strasburg, assuming they keep him, and Corbin to build around post-Scherzer in a couple of years, that's the foundation for around a 500 or so team. Now you add and you supplement to that, you can get back up around 90. But I understand the concern and the nerves. Al Kensington, how are you?
Hey, Al.
Hey, guys. You guys have a great show. First of all, if they lose tomorrow night, it's a happy feeling because this team has been spectacular in how it's come back. A couple data points to think about. I actually believe they're going to win tomorrow. They remind me of the Caps a couple years ago after losing three in a row to Tampa Bay, came back home, took care of business calmly, and then went to Tampa in Game 7 and took care of business again. This team last night, and I was in the park, took care of business calmly, and they're going to L.A. with the number one pitcher in the history of postseason ERA, Steven Strasburg, and the pressure is squarely on the Dodgers.
It is on the Dodgers, just like the Nats before. They're the one seed there at home, and in the case of the Dodgers, they've been to two straight World Series, and they made some moves to make sure they got to a third. What was the cookie count?
13. All done.
You did it?
Yep. No problem.
If you're going to eat 13, why not just try 15?
That's too much. That's okay. Great. That would be overindulgent.
Okay.
Don't be ridiculous.
No, that would be insane.
You can't just eat 14 or 15 cookies.
Looking forward to tomorrow's show. Going to be a lot of fun as we get you set for Game 5 of the NLDS, which has gone as far as it can. Last stop on this train tomorrow night. Out in Los Angeles. We're going to do some kind of watch party or something, I think. Although maybe we won't. I don't know. I'd like to know what's going on with that. So we'll figure that out at some point, and we'll let you know before tomorrow.
We are Grant and Danny, and now our watch.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.